200 of this, 200 of that, and all, I have to fill it. Mm-hmm. Then I called down to Chinatown. And as a matter of fact, there was a Chinese cinema club that we organized down at Chinatown on Main and Alameda. And we had a nice little club there with telephones and all the actors that were actually members of the Screen Actors Guild go up there, play chess or read newspaper. It was a nice club. And then when I needed someone, I called them. Those were volunteers. Mm-hmm. Different ones took care of the telephone, everyday volunteers, you know. So I called them up and they would round up the people and give me their names. Mm-hmm. And all that. It was very exciting mm-hmm. in those days. Mm-hmm. You know, they had much more, I think, activities in those days than now, because there aren't any big pictures now. They're all television, you know, mm-hmm. and they can't use too many people.
Mm-hmm. Would you say about 1 in 14 Chinese were involved in the movie industries?
Because you know, I don't know the population at that time. Mm-hmm. But all I can say, there were about, on my roster, those that belonged to the Screen Extra Guild, I would say I had about 50 to 75 Chinese, and then I had some Japanese. And then there were the Filipinos that belonged to Screen Actors Guild too, but they were not my steady, you know, like the overflow, I would use them.
Mm-hmm. How many Chinese people would you have in your files?
When? Now?
This was back in, before the
movie. Then I say I would have about 50 to 75 that were SEG members, Screen Extra Guild. Mm-hmm. Then after they are used up, then I could go outside to get the non-guild members. Mm-hmm. That's when, I mean, all Chinatown came forth. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to work, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. To some of them, it was just a lark. It was fun, mm-hmm. you know, seeing their friends there and all that shit.
Mm-hmm. What kind, were you looking for certain kinds of people?
Whatever the studio wants, I supply them with.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted elderly, then I get elderly people. If they want young girls, beautiful girls, then I have to look for them. Or send them what I have first, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever I don't have, then I go on the outside and look for them.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
In many cases, did you find cases where Chinese had experience in acting?
Not at that time. I think it was through Good Earth that they became acting conscious. Then some of them, no, they didn't have any opportunities like they do now. Now there's drama schools and all that, you see. And there weren't too many big, important parts for the Orientals anyway in those days. You know, there were minor parts,
mm-hmm.
except the Good Earth. And then there were a few that took big parts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So and then,
go ahead. Excuse me.
And then after the Good Earth, I was holding like the Keys of the Kingdom and China Girl and quite a number of them. Then I was really taking about 4 jobs, you know. I was also an assistant director. Because after I cast these hundreds of people at the studios, then I have to go out there and check their names. Because, it's such great confusion if I don't go. Because you know how it is. They're filed under Wong Chi or whatever it is. And then they look under the Chi, under the C, they couldn't find their names. You know how
uh-huh.
it is.
Uh-huh.
So I have to be there to help the casting offices at the studios, you know,
mm-hmm.
to give out their vouchers,
mm-hmm.
you see. Then after that, they wanted me to be an assistant director, and I would follow the director or the assistant director to give instructions over the microphone to tell them what to do. Now, you're supposed to go out and walk on the street now, don't look at the camera. And I was more or less a herder, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to tell them what to do. And some of them are new, then I have to, all this is done in Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And because the English part would be spoken by the director. You see, there'd be some Americans there working too,
mm-hmm.
you see. And then I would be the translator.
Mm-hmm. Before you did this, did Tom Govins know Chinese? Could
oh,
he direct a
yes.
Chinese?
He spoke beautiful Chinese. Because his mother was Cantonese, his mother was Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
He married, his father was English.
Mm-hmm. So you worked as a casting director from
1939 to, I don't quite remember the year. Oh, while I was doing, while I was a casting director at home, then the studios would call me up and wanted me to send, a fellow who can speak, English pretty well, a tall person or whatever, as an officer with a couple of lines, and I would send, these people up there for an interview. And those that got picked worked in it, but I never was able to get my commission, you see. Never got, I was doing this work for free. So then finally, after quite some time here, I was helping the studio out, and I was not able to collect my commission. So finally, I had to go and talk to the Screen Actors Guild that this case is very, very unusual, you know, because having a Chinese person, having to speak Chinese and not being and doing two jobs. I have to get the sanction from the Screen Actors Guild, because anybody who's a casting director cannot be an agent. Casting director, in this case, is hiring the extra people. You see, there are two guilds. And then the others are actors. And when anybody who spoke a word is called an actor, you know, then they have to belong to another guild.
Mm-hmm.
So I was fortunate enough to be given this privilege to also become an agent,
mm-hmm.
you see. So I was sending people out for an acting job, sending people out as atmosphere, and then also becoming an assistant director.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really exciting days, you
mm-hmm.
know.
And
I worked hard, but enjoyed every bit of it.
And what would be the commission?
Always 10%.
Uh-huh. And that was paid by the...
By the actors.
By the actors.
For the acting, you
uh-huh.
know. The Screen Actors Guild was hired, when I was a casting director for the background people, you know,
mm-hmm.
that is the Screen Extra Guild. And that is paid by the studio,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
The motion picture, or what did they call it now? I don't remember. You know, I was paid by them,
mm-hmm.
you see. But the actors pay me 10% for sending them. That is after I got the dispensation, you know, from the Screen Actors Guild that I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, nobody can do that. I think it was very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
Mm-hmm.
So you see how my life is changing. Everything came, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't seek for it. It just came.
Mm-hmm. Roughly, how much did people make at working as extras?
I think in those days it was $5. Then it became $7.50. And then it was $10.50. And then 13, as the years went by along, you know, then they always got more and more and more. They went on strike in different places.
And that was for a day's work?
Yeah, for a day's work.
Mm-hmm.
Days, 8 hours. Anything beyond that, you get forever.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think many Chinese went into acting and doing extras?
Well, because in the first place, the money. Second place, it's fun to them. It's just like, you know, in the world of make-believe. And I think these two things are the main things, main reason. Mm-hmm. Money first, I think.
I think there was also the influence of the depression, and people sought part-time work, extra income from acting.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And of course, from the actors now, those that have become actors, they love it. Once you've done on, have grease paint on your face, you're just hooked, you know. And just, they all want to become, you know, actors and stay on being an actor. Mm-hmm. Because it's a self-expression, it's a thing that you can create, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever aspire to become an, you know, more of an actress than casting director and agent since you started off in The Good Earth?
Well, prior to that, in my high school senior year, I was in the high school senior play, and there were four plays, and my nephew and another fellow, we did the Sweetmeat Game. That was the show that we did. You know, there were four shows for senior plays. Mm-hmm. And of all the four plays, our play was chosen to be the best plays of any of the, you know, other three. And it was in the paper, newspaper, that we really did a stellar, you know, job, and it was a stellar show. So that was my first taste. And then during summertime, my mother always took me up to visit my sister, who was married at that time. And then they were looking for Lowell's Warfield, San Francisco, were looking for Chinese girls to be with what is his name? Jiu Fong, who was a Chinese tenor in those days, and very, very prominent. And he was hired to sing. He's a Chinese tenor, you know. And he wanted eight girls to be on the background. So then I was one of the eight girls selected, you know, among hundreds of Chinese girls that went there for that job. So we did the chorus line, mm-hmm. you know, to back Jiu Fong when he sung, you know, when the Irish rose, mm-hmm. smiling or something like that. And then when my mother heard about it, well, that time my mother wasn't with me, heard about it, she immediately phoned me and said, I heard that you're doing a show. Oh, I think there's a little news bit in that book that you have, you know,
mm-hmm.
about me being in San Francisco in the show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in the Hanford newspaper. So my mother heard about it immediately. She called me up and said, I don't want you to be in a show. Now, you come back home and this and that, you know. You know, remember in those days? No, in those days it was almost unheard of, you know, to have Chinese girls displaying herself, you know. Of course we wore Chinese clothes, but they didn't believe in it. But I had to finish my contract there anyway. I think we did 2 weeks of it. That was my first taste of stage, and, you know, then the senior play was... that she didn't mind because it was for the school.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get involved with The Good Earth?
Oh, then when I was married here, and they were seeking, you know, people, and they were calling down at Chinatown, Tom Gubbins did, you know, call people to go for interviews. And so everybody who wasn't doing anything wanted to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was how.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, I was one of the four girls that were chosen.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did you ever want to go back into teaching? since you went to teach school.
I don't think so. You see, my father wanted me to be a doctor, and the sight of blood would really, you know, I can't stand it. And then, then he wanted me to be just something, you know, just with a doctor, you know. And the next thing would be an optometrist, you know, at least you could be working one eye, but then you have to study the anatomy also. And then I wasn't too good in mathematics at those times. And then so the easiest thing was to be a school teacher. That made him happy. You know, all fathers, all of our fathers in those days want their children to become doctors or professors or teacher. You know.
Mm-hmm. So that was, you know. What line of work did your older sister pursue?
She didn't pursue anything. She just, my, you know, she was married and she never met her husband until the wedding night. That was the way all the marriages in those days were arranged, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she was just a girl. She didn't even go to school any more than the third grade. I remember the first time I went to school, and I was 10 years old, and I walked down at Chinatown, and all the Chinese people, what do you girls want to go to school for, you know? What, you want to learn to run away or something, you know? Because they really make terrible remarks.
Who's they? Who would make this?
The Chinese people.
The older people?
The older people, naturally. But remember now, this is way back.
Would the women make such remarks too, or would they?
No, not the women. I mean the men, like you're walking down on the street and they would cast these remarks.
Mm-hmm.
See, you have no idea. We are really pioneers. What we have gone through with the first of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
How much older is your sister?
Oh, she's 83 now, and 76. She's about 6 or 7 years mm-hmm. older than I. You see, there's a brother in between us
mm-hmm.
that died, you mm-hmm. know.
And then the other brother who became the herbalist, is the youngest?
No, he's the eldest.
Oh, he's the eldest, so
yeah.
He's... Mm-hmm.
He must have been about 100 now, I think, you know, if it were. Oh no, he wouldn't be 90 or something. My sister is 83.
Mm-hmm. And have your parents always remained in Hanford?
Always.
Yeah, with their store?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Did the children help out at the store?
Mm-mm. None of us did. We just went to school. We have people working for us. It wasn't that busy, you know. We had maybe one or two sort of a family, distant relatives from China.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother work in the store?
No, never. Oh, no. Think of, you know, in those days, women don't work. They all have to stay home and be good mothers and good wives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you think that you had were your parents... Would you consider them old-fashioned? Did you have a Chinese upbringing or Chinese activities too?
Yes, they are very, very old-fashioned compared to the Chinese custom.
Just a minute.
End of tape 1, Psi A, duplication of the 90-minute to 60-minute tape.